Thank you, everybody. I'll start my stopwatch because I tend to go on. So I had a little think about what I was going to talk about, and I'm not really going to talk about flogging you one of our bikes, which obviously I like to try and do, but on this rare occasion, I'm going to try and steer away from that. And the remit was to try and think about what we need to do to funk up making stuff, because we're not making enough. And so my starting position is, I think, I can't remember which politician it was. Maybe it was Tony Blair, who said, education, education, education. That is our problem, in my humble opinion, with the industry. And there is a perception that it's all high tech. It's that semiconductor company that Peter had. That's what we have to do. Nanotechnology, graphene, you know, cutting edge, zooming off to space. But here we are, a bicycle company manufacturing in London, which is hardly the epicenter of the world's cheap labor. And we're making a bicycle, which of course isn't high tech, is it? Because it's a bicycle. And we're selling this thing to the Chinese. In fact, China's about to take off and become our largest export market. Well, clearly we're weird. We've got it wrong. We should be making nano nimby nimby wimbies, not bicycles, which are simple things with two wheels. But that's where the education bit comes in. And that's where we come in as an enthusiastic bunch who are all terribly knowledgeable. Our politicians do not understand our sector. Universities are not delivering to our sector, and the dear old parents who are busily encouraging their children to be the best things since sliced bread haven't got a Scooby-Doo. So let's start with the politicians. They need to understand and be educated by us. You can produce, and I thought Peter was going to come up with it because he told me this about 15 years ago, and it's flipping genius. I can't remember the name of the company, but they make fittings for your bathroom. If you go to Screwfix or somewhere, you'll find a fitting, a plastic fitting, costs 60 pence. And you know, when your U-bend's gone on your plumbing, you have to unscrew it and stick another one on. Could be. Yeah, there they are. They're all nodding. Made in the UK, cheap as chips, nothing high value about that. No, there's nothing high value about that, but you'll have a look at the kit that they use to make it. It's off the flipping chart. It's insane. It's pumping things out so fast. And you can't ship them from China because they're so damn cheap and it's mostly air. It doesn't make commercial sense. That is smart. That's high tech. But the politicians cannot see it. We make a bike. This bike is made in Sheffield. I don't want to bore you because obviously if you haven't got one, you bloody well need one. But this is awesome. We've used computers that are just breathtakingly powerful to do FEA on this. We're using cobots and robots. We're using MIM. We're using awesome stuff just to make a bicycle. So it's deeper and a bit more sophisticated than we realize to run our factory. We have Raspberry Pis all over it. We write our own software in Python. We're trying to create a fully integrated company that when somebody, you know, in America, some celeb rides our bike and suddenly like, everybody's getting excited online with, they want to look at that bike. And we know that the funnel from the top to the bottom is a 2% transition. And suddenly, because somebody rode our bike in America, in Hollywood, everybody's getting excited about that product. Well, we hadn't bought for that because that wasn't part of the plan. So within 10 days, we completely reconfigure our supply chain to change what we thought we were buying, knowing that in 3 weeks' time, the Yanks are all going to start buying that bike. That is smart. And that is value that we have in the UK, a fully integrated, sophisticated business, not just the product at the end. It's everything in between. that we need to bring together, and we can do very effectively in the UK because we have a multifaceted research, university, collaboration, and sort of slightly quirky group of human beings in our country. And we can massively optimize that. So then you come on to universities. I went to university. I had 4 years. I had 1 year in the middle where I went off to Spain and had an absolute riot. The other 3 years, I did mechanical engineering in Spanish. The Spanish bit was brilliant. The engineering bit was, oh God, it was horrendous. It was like 3 years of how to put you off the career. It was awful. The university lecturers, you know, they came out, they simply were not interested in students. They produced laminates and put them on the projector, and they were still 10 years old, and they did the Carnot cycle in the same way they'd done it 10 years ago. We had one bloke who'd actually worked in any sort of real company. The rest of them were just sort of interested in trying to produce papers. They were just interested in just producing, you know, publishing papers with some completely irrelevant stuff. They weren't interested in us. And I would say they've improved, but I think they have a long way to go. Universities need to inspire. They need to excite. They need to bring alive what an awesome career it is. And they are not doing that because they're not measured on that. The university lecturer is not measured on the outcome of the student. They're measured on how many weird little, never heard of it, totally irrelevant research they've done. Bits okay of research work, but there isn't enough focus on the student, on inspiring the next generation to come into our industry. So they do engineering to go and work in banking or to go and become some consultant. And, you know, they're not going into an awesome industry. But I had such a painful time at university. I thought, oh, I'm just going to get on and get chartered because I felt I'd sort of killed myself to get through the degree. And then I discovered this world of milk and honey, and it was a complete adrenaline rush and really exciting and fascinating and brilliant. But you wouldn't have had a clue at university. Let's go back another step. Parents. There is an advert. I was watching it last night on the telly. BT. You know, here we are to solve your problems. You've got a leak, you've got a, you know, cost of living crisis. Don't worry, here are our engineers to sort you out. Boop. Well, they're not engineers. They're plumbers. But BT, they're spending hundreds of thousands of pounds telling every parent that's sitting there watching telly, oh, I don't want my children being one of those engineers. They're one, and guess what? There's a monkey wrench in there. Yes, that's it. On their knees, monkey wrench. That's what engineers do. That is not on. And we've danced around that subject for too long. And if we're serious about reinvigorating making, you need engineers to make materials, manufacturing, design, FEA, but they are engineers. They are not mechanics that fix your tire. They're not plumbers. They're not technicians. They are engineers that went through a three-year, you know, baptism of fire to get to a point where they have a deep understanding of their subject matter. And that has to be dealt with. And we're not, my stopwatch, have I gone on a bit too far? No, I'm only 8 minutes. We are not taking that seriously. And we've got all these societies and the Institute of this and the Institute of that, and they've got to pull themselves together and get on with it and sort these flipping politicians out and sort out. I had this brilliant idea. I never got through with it because I was making a bit of progress with David Cameron, and then he buggered off. But the idea was that we get BT, Dino Rod, you know, any of the British Gas, any of these people, and we get the CEO, who's today's CEO. They'll all be gone in 5 years' time because they come in for a job and then they all disappear. But you get them in for a good old knees up in number 10, whoever's in there, and we say to them, look, we want you to sign up to this voluntary code of conduct. Voluntary. And it hasn't got to be done for 5 years, by which time they all know they're not going to be in a job anymore because somebody else will have taken over. So they're happy to sign up to it. voluntary. And they say they will, over the next 5 years, change the engineer that's fixing your tire to a mechanic, the engineer that's fixing your heating to a plumber, or whatever the correct nomenclature is, at least moving us towards a place where we're not just bombarded with incorrect information about our sector. So in conclusion, there is so much for us to do. There is opportunity everywhere. We're riddled in it. We are working at Brompton. I've got a piece of paper somewhere in my pocket here. Here we go. I mean, because one of my team sent me this last night. Very good of him. We're doing mentoring of master's projects at Cranfield and Imperial. I do a little bit of lecturing at Imperial. We're working with these fantastic catapults, which I think are great. We're working with the Blooming National Composite Centre, the Advanced Forming Research Centre, the Warwick Manufacturing Group. We're working with the Welding Institute, the Aluminium Federation, the National Physics Laboratory. And then we've got commercial partners in Fluxys, Cambridge Design Partnership. The point is, I mean, there's tons of it. It's there. We just need to go out and grab it and stop dancing around and be a bit more ambitious. And it's all within the grasp. So for me, I don't really know who I'm talking to. Obviously, I know who I'm talking to here, but I've been in this industry 20 years and I've failed systematically to move the dial for the UK PLC. We have done a lot with a bicycle against the odds. And it's not luck. Anyone can do it. It's ambition and determination. You apply that nationally, we can smash it out of the park. Thank you.